We'd like smarter machines to vacuum our floors, but what if machines attain super intelligence and take over the world? Well, Nick Bostrom says it's a scary possibility and one that we should be worrying about right now. In fact, he's written a whole book about it. It's called Super Intelligence: Paths, Dangers, Strategies. He's currently touring the U.S., sowing his particular brand of terror at high-thinking places like Google and the Machine Intelligence Research Institute. And he's here in Seattle to talk at Microsoft and Town Hall. Nick Bostrom, thank you so much for joining us on The Record.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation.
Let's focus in on the topic of your book, Superintelligence Among Machines. As of right now, humans are still tops, right?
Yeah, and so it's not because we have stronger muscles or sharper claws than other animals. It's because our brains are slightly different from those of our great ape ancestors. So we were slightly cleverer, and that then enabled us to develop all these technologies and the complex social organization that now makes it the case that, say, the future of the gorillas depends a lot more on what we humans do than on what the gorillas do themselves. For basically the same reasons, even when we create machine superintelligence, machines that surpass us radically in this kind of general cleverness, they too could become extremely powerful relative to us and able to shape the future according to their preferences.
Well, I don't feel too threatened by the Roomba. Siri, I'm a little about, but you're talking about a whole other level of machines that have super intelligence. And what is super intelligence when it comes to machines? What do you mean by that?
I define a super intelligence as any intellect that radically outperforms humanity in all practically relevant fields, so including scientific creativity, social skills, general wisdom.
So give us some examples of what a super intelligent machine computer might do.
For a start, everything that we could do, and much faster. So if we think about all the kinds of futuristic technologies that perhaps the human species would have developed in the fullness of time if we had another 20,000 years to do science and technology, then all of those technologies might be developed very quickly if we have a superintelligence who is doing the research, but at digital rather than biological timescales. So what you have is, with the development of superintelligence, a kind of telescoping of the future, where what would otherwise have been achieved in the long term might be achieved very, very quickly. You get technological maturity shortly after you have superintelligence.
I'm talking to Oxford philosophy professor Nick Bostrom. His new book is called Superintelligence: Paths, Dangers, Strategies. We're still a ways off from a computer that can outthink us, isn't it? But do you think we're on our way there?
Well, in a sense, we are on our way to everything that will happen in the future. By definition, the time to superintelligence is one day less today than it was yesterday. We did a survey of leading AI researchers last year, and one of the questions we asked was, by what year do you think there is a 50% probability that we will have achieved human-level machine intelligence? The median answer to that question was 2040 or 2050, depending on precisely which group of experts we asked. I think that seems fairly reasonable, but there is a large amount of uncertainty on both sides. I think we can be more confident, though, about what will happen if and when we do reach human-level machine intelligence. I think soon after that, we will have superintelligence, machines that radically outperforms humans. It does look like we're still quite far away from that point. But the reason why I think there is a kind of urgency here is not that superintelligence is necessarily imminent, but that by the time it happens, we already have to have found the solution to what I call the control problem. This is the problem basically of how to ensure that the seed AI that will grow up into superintelligence will be safe and beneficial. And this control problem looks extremely difficult. The more we have studied it, the more we start to appreciate just how hard it would be to engineer something that will be much smarter than us and that will still somehow preserve and cultivate human values. So out of these two problems, the problems of how to build machines to be smart and the problem of how to ensure that such machines would be safe, it's crucial that we solve these two problems in the correct sequence. We need to solve the control problem before we solve the competence problem. And yet in the world today, there might be hundreds of thousands of people who are contributing in different ways to making machines more efficient and smarter, but perhaps half a dozen individuals who are working full-time on this control problem.
I'm talking to Nick Bostrom, professor of philosophy at Oxford, and we're talking about the future of artificial intelligence that's growing very rapidly. And he talks about this in detail in his just released book, Superintelligence: Paths, Dangers, and Strategies. Nick, let's look at a worst case, best case scenario for machines with superintelligence. First of all, best case, what are some of the things that could be beneficial to the development of these machines?
Well, if we manage to develop friendly superintelligence, then we might have eliminated a whole bunch of other existential risks that humanity would otherwise confront. We will, in effect, have unlocked the cosmic endowment, all the resources out there floating around in the universe, Earth being just a little crumb, a little speck in this vast sea of resources. So all those lifeless planets and solar systems that are just lighting up empty spaces and heating empty rooms, that they could be used to sustain some wonderful flourishing civilizations with trillions and trillions of super happy individuals with brains the size of planets, thinking thoughts and having feelings that are literally beyond our ability to imagine. So the upside is, I think, quite literally beyond our wildest dreams.
All right.
The downside is, there is a significant chance that it would crush everything we care about, cause the extinction of humanity and all the things that we might think have value, and that the future might be formatted according to some random preferences that this first superintelligence might have. Suppose maybe it wants to make as many paperclips as possible. Maybe, like, you design such an AI to run a paperclip factory, and then the future just consists of a lot of paperclips.
Could we eliminate the possibility of the downside of superintelligent machines if we followed science fiction author Isaac Asimov's three rules of robots? They'll, as you recall, say a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Secondly, a robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Third, a robot must protect its own existence as long as that protection does not conflict with the first or second law. That was a science fiction writer's idea of how to program in ways to prevent machines from being injurious to us. What do you think about that?
Well, somewhat sort of embarrassing for our species, the Asimov's laws remained state of the art for over two decades. Now we can see quite clearly that it's a non-starter. If you think of it, to take the idea, like, allow no human to come to harm. Now, if you took that literally, presumably you could never allow a human to be born, because any time somebody comes into existence at some point in their life, they'll most likely come to harm. So, well, that's not what we had in mind, you think? Well, so then we have to go in and insert some exception clause for that.
Do we need to do it, or if we have a super intelligent machine, could it design its own rules that would prevent it from harming us?
Well, it certainly could design whatever rules it wanted. The question is, by what criteria would it decide which rules to adopt? This is just another way of saying that the superintelligence's values are paramount. The superintelligence would have the ability to modify itself to change its values, but it would use its present values to decide whether or not to do so. So it's key that it starts out with human-friendly values, because those would then be the criteria that would determine how the AI would change. Remembering here also that with superintelligence, we might only ever get one try. Once you have an unfriendly superintelligence, it might not see kindly to any attempt to change its values. It would resist that. So it's key to get this all right on the very first system that becomes a superintelligence.
That's Nick Bostrom. He leads Oxford's Future of Humanity Institute. He spoke with my colleague Ross Reynolds, and Nick Bostrom speaks tonight. It's a sold-out appearance, though, at Town Hall, Seattle.